May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks after I started here, a parishioner from my old church in Lincoln passed away. It wasn't a tragic death. She died in her home at the age of 99, surrounded by family, at the end of a long and, in fact, heroic life. I say heroic because that's what she was, a hero. I'd only learned this the year before, when she was presented with a Congressional Gold Medal at the age of 98. But Patricia Warner, three quarters of a century before I had known her, had once been a spy. In 1942, her husband, a naval officer, had been killed in combat in the Second World War. Pat, aged 22, promptly headed to a Navy recruiting office to join up. On learning that the Navy didn't take war widows, she turned to a younger, scrappier service, the newly formed Office of Strategic Services, OSS, America's first modern spy agency. During the war, she was stationed in Spain, where she helped smuggle downed American and British air crews out of occupied France. When Allied airplanes were shot down over Europe, the Belgian and French resistance would try to rescue any survivors. They'd hide them, and they'd bring them through a kind of underground railroad all the way down through France to the Spanish border. Then British and American agents could transport them through Spain to boats or submarines off the coast or down to the British base at Gibraltar. Spain remained neutral during the war, but its leader was a dictator sympathetic to the German cause and was full of German military and intelligence officers. So Pat went undercover as a flamenco dancer, gathering information on German activities, recruiting friendly agents to the Allied cause, sending Morse code from her apartment, and arranging for submarines to pick up downed fighter pilots off the coast. Now, I tell you all this not just because it's a cool story, and not just because I once applied for an internship with the CIA. Thankfully, I was rejected. But because this is, in a sense, exactly what we Christians are in this world. Spies embedded behind enemy lines. This Sunday morning, the last Sunday after Pentecost, the last Sunday before a new liturgical year begins in Advent, is often called the Feast of Christ the King. It's a fairly recent feast as far as church calendars go. The Pope only created it in 1925, soon after Mussolini's rise to power in Italy. In the face of a rising tide of fascism, the church emphasized the struggle between two different kinds of kingdom that claim to rule this world. The empires of the world with their values of power, wealth, and domination, and their bombastic, demagogic dictators. And the kingdom of God, with its values of compassion, love, and peace, and its self-sacrificing ruler, Christ the King. The Feast of Christ the King is at the transition between two great seasons of the church. The season of Advent, when we quietly await the arrival of Jesus, our newborn King, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And the long season after Pentecost, when we recognize that Christ still lives and reigns in the church through the Holy Spirit, and we seek to follow him and obey his teachings. The kingdom of Christ is a kingdom that's often said to be both now and not yet. We proclaim that that little baby who lay in a manger 2,000 years ago was and is now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet we know that his kingdom, that his reign over the earth, is incomplete. We believe that God will come to set the world aright, but we know that this hasn't happened yet. Christ's reign over the earth is something like one of the Allied governments in exile during World War II. The French government in exile was the legitimate government of France, but it ruled from England. There were French citizens who obeyed it, served it, gave their lives for it, but its homeland was occupied by a hostile foreign power. And while it was true that a climactic moment of liberation was going to come, for years people did their best to live faithfully behind enemy lines with the help of the occasional spy. Today's gospel reading shows us the conflict between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of God, between the legitimate government of our worlds and the forces that rule it now. Jesus returns in glory to separate the sheep from the goats, the righteous from the unrighteous, and he uses a simple test. It's not whether they call themselves Christians or Jews, Hindus, Muslims, or atheists. It's not whether they're active members of their local church. It's not even whether they're upstanding and law-abiding citizens of their society. It's whether they give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty, whether they welcome the stranger and clothe the naked, tended the sick and visited the imprisoned, because, Christ the King says, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Whether they knew it or not, when these sheep were caring for one another, they were meeting Jesus face to face. And so the same Christ who becomes present in the Eucharistic bread and wine becomes present in people who are sick or hungry or locked behind bars. And woe to us, the ancient Christians used to preach, when we clothe the body of Christ in silver and fine silk in the church and bow down in awe before him, while we leave his body hungry in the street and turn away our eyes when he asks for something to eat. If this is what the kingdom of God looks like, if it's a kingdom that feeds the hungry and cares for the sick and the imprisoned, then it seems clear that we're not living in it yet. Despite our best efforts, we do not manage to feed all those who are hungry, to clothe all those who are naked, let alone to care for all those who are sick or in prison. And we do display that hypocrisy that honors Christ's body in the church and ignores it in the streets. At least most of us do, at least most of the time. But God is coming back to set things right. And that's the real story here as we begin Advent next week. The kingdom of God is not just a set of ideals or values that we have to follow. It's a real kingdom. It's a real government. It's in exile now, but it's going to return in force. That's what the shepherd imagery of the prophet Ezekiel is all about. Shepherd is a common image for a king, for the person who leads and guides and cares for the people like a flock. And God says, after generations of human kings have failed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them with justice. It's this coming again to lead the sheep, this coming in glory with all the angels to restore all things that we await in Advent. It's this D-Day of the Christian story, this final moment of liberation that will end with the kingdom of peace and love and justice, the kingdom of God that feeds the hungry and heals the sick, finally ruling in the world. But that day has not yet come. We're left here in our world, like a bunch of spies, living in a hostile land, but doing our best to help our cause. We can't fix the world on our own, any more than those spies of World War II could liberate France on their own. We can't feed all the hungry on our own. We can't end the pandemic on our own. Those victories are up to forces beyond our control. But we can feed a few people who are hungry. We can visit a few people who are imprisoned. We can slow the virus enough so that just a few fewer people might be sick and die. These little differences will never be enough to change the world, but to one person, from one person, they can change a life. So here we are, spies for the kingdom of God, living subversively as agents of God's love in an often unloving world, slowly chipping away at the reign of cruelty, violence, and destruction until one day, our God begins to reign. We don't know when that final victory will come, when we'll see Christ returning in glory. We don't know what exactly that might look like. But we do know that we can find him walking among us now, because he's told us where to look. So where, O undercover Christian, have you seen Christ this week without knowing it? Where have you seen someone hungry for food or for meaning, and how could you feed them? Where have you seen someone thirsty for water or for the Spirit of God, and how can you give them something to drink? Where have you seen someone sick or imprisoned in body, mind, or spirit, and how can you give them relief? Because this is our mission while we're here behind enemy lines, to seek out our neighbors when they need us and to help, to smuggle them out of the kingdoms of this world and into the kingdom of God's love, and there in them to meet our Lord and God. For truly I tell you, Jesus says, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Amen.